We want to go now to Gerald in Baltimore. Gerald, thank you for calling.
Hi, Scott. Your performance in this period has just been, you can't praise it enough, NPR and Dan Shore and the assets. Dan said something that he said he has never seen the nation mobilize quite the way the community spirit. I witnessed that and enlisted myself after Pearl Harbor in World War II. You couldn't show it on television then because there wasn't any. But I'll tell you what I'm concerned about. I've been monitoring the reenlistment rates. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, Scott, there are thousands of Chief Thanes in the United States, but there are tens and hundreds of thousands who, when we go from the defensive to the offensive stage of this operation, which the president has promised, I think I'm fearful of the consequences.
Let me just explain. Chief Fain was the 71-year-old deputy fire commissioner in New York who stayed with the department years after he could have retired. Well, Dan, thank you for calling.
Well, I'm old enough to remember what happened after Pearl Harbor and the number of people who volunteered for service in the military. It's interesting that some of the senators and others of that era had seen, like Jack Kennedy with PT-109, mm-hmm. had all enlisted, and that's true, and I should have noted that. I think, however, in this modern age, for some reason, that the ways of volunteering are not necessarily in the military. There you can volunteer by giving blood, you can volunteer by going to work, you can volunteer in the Red Cross, and somehow, until we know that there's a clear and present enemy to fight, there's a lot to be done in the way of volunteerism, which doesn't necessarily involve military volunteerism. That may come later.
Let me ask a question I think that was inferred from the question. I remember when I covered the Gulf War, and I say this with respect, talking to people in the logistics units that supported the 82nd Airborne, talking to, for example, Army cooks, who would say very openly, I joined the Army to learn a trade.
Right.
I had no idea I was going to be caught up in a war, in which you wanted to say in a friendly enough way, well, that's, you know, kind of what the business is all about. That's certainly why I'm here. Does having a all volunteer force result in people who might be highly trained, but lack a certain necessary ingredient of will, or maybe this week's circumstances have changed that?
You have to introduce into the discussion the Vietnam War. That is to say, that was the war that was not very popular, mm-hmm. and didn't cause a great burst of volunteerism. And since the Vietnam War, Americans want to know that if they volunteer to fight, that they're fighting for a cause that this country believes in. We're still suffering a little bit from post-Vietnam.
Let's now go to Steve in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Steve, thanks for calling.
Hello?
Hey, Steve, can you hear us?
Yes. Hi, Scott.
Hi there.
There's a couple of things. First point is I just wanted to ask about, or actually more of a comment on, basically what the nation should do. And this is sort of based on well, it's not just you, but other people and just NPR and CNN. Second point was, it's actually, it just follows directly from what you guys were saying about whether are we ready as a nation to do whatever mm-hmm. we ought to do. First point first. You know, I think earlier, about an hour ago, I was just waking up, there was this lady who called and you posed a question to her about, well, what if we were back about 40 or 50 years ago and we were Britain or America and we're facing Adolf Hitler, what should we do? And I wanted to say that I agree with your sentiment and the spirit of what you're saying, and you know, and I think it can be supported in this sense. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of differences between Adolf Hitler and Osama bin Laden, but one thing that they have in common is that they're not really people that we can sit down at a table and sort of negotiate with, you know, sort of parse things out and come to some kind of understanding that you know would allow us to live peaceably forevermore. And for example, I mean, sort of to contrast, you know, Northern Ireland, however you feel about it, at least that's about some kind of territory, and you know, people can sit down at a table. The differing sides have at least some level of reasonability so that they can negotiate. But people, I mean, from what I can tell, just sort of studying up on Osama bin Laden, it seems like he's just somebody who is just against America. I mean, even if we were not engaged in the Middle East, I think he would just be against whatever his perception of America is. He thinks that America is some, you know, Christian, Jewish, whatever nation, and not sure that kind of sentiment is really rational. And he also probably hates other aspects of American life or whatever he thinks is American life and culture.
Okay. I think we have enough to get Dan's reaction now, Stu. Sure. Thanks very much for calling.
Well, yes, it is right that we are not faced with an enemy over territory. We're faced with an enemy over ideology. We're faced with an enemy over civilizations. And it's very clear that Osama bin Laden, who, by the way, was on our side when we were trying to get the Russians out of Afghanistan, has now turned against America as being the arch representative of a culture of that he hates. He wants to, I don't know if he wants to bring back the glory days of his Islamic culture and civilization, but whatever it is, he is not to be talked to or bargained with because of that. I hope, however, that the United States will not fall into the same kind of language. Mm-hmm. I've been hearing about rooting out evil. That's from our president. Mm-hmm. I've been hearing about this is a great moral crusade. I think that this has to be addressed as a problem of a secular society dealing with religious fanatics. I think that Jerry Falwell is not very helpful at this point when he says that we are being punished because of abortion. God is punishing us. Even the president said that was inappropriate language. And I think it is important to keep this on the level of this is a great secular society, and we're not going to be engaged in a religious conflict with Osama bin Laden.
Okay. Let's go to Mark in Forest Park, Illinois.
Hi.
Hi there.
It's a pleasure to speak to Scott and Mr. Shore. Hello, good morning.
Morning.
I've got a concern. I grew up during the Cold War. I'm in my mid-40s right now. And I'm concerned that we're re-entering a cycle that we've just really haven't had a chance to get out of. World War II came along with its increases in technology, and we might say, well, you know, wow, those aren't impressive, but that's a great perspective to have in 1990. But at the end of World War II, you know, we had a great heightenedness in spy and espionage activity and things like that, or at least a perception that created a lot of suspicion that we then called the Cold War. And my major concern is if we get through this project, or even if we get through this era of meeting this, or even during the time we meet this, there's going to be a great height of suspicion for anybody who expresses any kind of a contradictory perception. I'm concerned about that because that does limit one's freedoms in a very, almost freedom of thought.
Mark,
are there any concerns that you both have about
okay,
that?
Okay, well, all right. Thank you, Mark, very much for calling. Well, I've disconnected Mark. I beg your pardon. I hope he doesn't take that as the first sign that his opinions are trying to be suppressed.
I think there's reason for concern. It is always so when America is in danger that America worries about whether it has too much in the way of civil liberties. Mm-hmm. And there are those who say this is all the fault of the American Civil Liberties Union. We've got to have greater ability to break in on people, to search them without warrants and all the rest of it. That is, you hear a little bit of that coming up right now. I hope we've heard about as much as we will hear.
Yeah. At the same time, there are all kinds of questions about ability to interdict email traffic. About,
right.
I assume in the United States we're not going to talk about suppressing information in the press. I certainly hope not. But what about some of those
but
fine?
But you are hearing from everybody about intelligence sources and methods. Keeping secrets.
Yeah.
We're hearing an enormous new emphasis being put on secrecy and keeping secrets, and I don't know whether that will go too far.
Okay, Dan, thank you very much. We'll be talking to you later in the morning. We want to tell people who are listening on our local stations along the line that shortly after 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 Central, we expect to hear from President Bush. Dan Shore and I will be here later in the special coverage we have, an extended version of Weekend Edition here on the Saturday morning of an extraordinary week in history. And you're listening to Weekend Edition.